From North State Public Radio, I'm Andre Bayek with your headlines for Thursday, January 12th. President Joe Biden declared a state of emergency for California's winter storms this week. The declaration allows some North State counties to qualify for aid. Butte County is not currently included in that declaration, but could still see some financial assistance if damages reached a certain threshold. NSPR's Jamie Jiang has more.
Tehama, Colusa, Glenn, and Yuba County are now officially folded into this week's federal emergency declaration. That means flood damage from the last 2 weeks will be paid for, at least in part, by the federal government. First, a local declaration has to happen for a municipality to join a larger declaration. This week, Butte County officially declared a local disaster that opened the door to federal assistance. Josh Jimmerfield is the Deputy Chief Administrative Officer at Butte County's Office of Emergency Management.
Well, we're included in the state's declaration, but the state has requested a federal declaration, and it'll depend on the level of damage costs in Butte County on whether or not we would qualify for any kind of federal assistance.
But Jimmerfield says Butte County has been lucky so far. Some roads and guardrails in the county will need repairs, but the major flooding that was anticipated did not occur. And on the plus side, reservoirs are filling up. Should flood damages in Butte County meet the threshold for federal assistance, the government could pay 75% of repair costs. Plus, individual homeowners could get federal assistance with property damages. But Jimmerfield says that's not a sure thing.
And so we really ask people, you know, they need to work through their insurance companies first. That's the first step they should be taking.
Jimmerfield recommends taking lots of pictures to document damages. He says Butte County will be doing that same thing in the coming days. For NSPR News, I'm Jamie Jiang.
Moving to state news, a new report from the Legislative Analyst's Office suggests ways California can make its parole hearing process more equitable. Cap Radio's race and equity reporter, Sarah Mises-Tan, reports.
The report states that the current parole process is vulnerable to a number of biases that inequitably keep people from disadvantaged groups in prison longer. It suggests changes to make decisions of parole board members less central to the process, and it suggests programs to improve access to lawyers for hearings. Keith Watley is with Uncommon Law, a nonprofit that advised the analyst's office on the report.
In a lot of ways, this discretionary parole process is one of the biggest contributors to mass incarceration that no one talks about, because so many people who went to prison remain stuck there.
Watley adds that according to their records, Black inmates were three times more likely to be denied parole than white inmates. In Sacramento, I'm Sarah Mises-Tan.
And Californians can now file to have their criminal records permanently sealed under a new law that takes effect this year. For the California Report, KQED's Alex Hall has more.
SB 731 allows Californians to have records of most convictions sealed as long as they serve their time, are no longer on parole or probation, and haven't had contact with the justice system in the past 4 years. Benjamin Amador heads the Stockton chapter of the advocacy group Time Done. He's among those filing petitions.
When we go to apply for a job to support our families, that application will be judged on the merits of our skills and credentials, not on our record of a mistake that we made 10, 15, 20 years ago that is no longer representative of who we are today.
The law does not apply to registered sex offenders, and school districts will still have access to records for hiring decisions. For the California Report, I'm Alex Hall in Oakland.
The Yolo County Board of Supervisors this week voted to spend $350,000 on a study evaluating whether low-income families are benefiting from the Yolo Basic Income Project. The program was started 9 months ago. It's intended to lift people out of poverty. The study will be conducted by UC Davis. Nolan Sullivan is Yolo County's Director of Health and Human Services.
Our goal is to hopefully convince the governor's office and other decision makers at the state level that if they were to expand a similar pilot across the state, it'd be a very small chunk of families, but you'd be bringing really intensive support to those families to help them across the board. So the more robust the study, obviously the more likely it is we can convince state lawmakers or federal funders to expand a pilot.
The project is providing 76 families with an average of $1,200 a month. The families are homeless, have children under 5 years old, and are in the state's CalWORKS program. UC Davis will evaluate the program by interviewing families and tracking outcomes. And finally, scientists and public health experts have been raising alarms for years about water pollution in the form of tiny plastic fragments, or microplastics. But they've lacked a way to determine the origins of those fragments. Until now. From California Hub member station KALW, Mary Catherine O'Connor reports.
Researchers have learned a great deal about marine and freshwater plastic pollution, and the results worry scientists and public health experts. Microplastics are fragments that form as plastics erode. Study after study show that they are ubiquitous. They're found in seafood, in bottled water, and even in the placentas of unborn babies. But tracing those tiny bits of plastic to their source is exceptionally difficult. A microscope can't tell you whether a plastic fragment comes from a fishing line, a plastic bottle, synthetic apparel, or some other source. For that, scientists use a device called a Raman spectrometer. Emily Miller, a senior research fellow at Monterey Bay Aquarium, told KALW how it works.
You shoot a laser at a sample, and scientists can get a molecular fingerprint from the way that the light in the laser interacts with the molecules in your sample.
Miller and her colleagues built a reference library of 24 such molecular fingerprints from microplastic samples pulled from Monterey Bay. Researchers can use this library to trace the origin of microplastics they find. And unlike similar libraries made by for-profit laboratories, access to this new resource is free. In San Francisco, I'm Mary Catherine O'Connor.
And those are your headlines for Thursday, January 12th. Our theme song is Burrow, and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For NSPR News, I'm Andre Bayek.